That's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the SummitCast. We're thrilled and excited that you made the decision to join us for today's broadcast. I'm Doug Dayton, and I'm here with America's head hunter, the one and only Chuck Jeter. Chuck, how are you?
Doing good, Doug. How are you, sir?
Fantastic. Been a busy week recruiting.
It has. It's as busy as every time you turn over a rock, you've got 10 more to turn over.
Yes, sir.
Pretty exciting.
And I know that everybody needs a radiologist on site nowadays, but we are still placing a lot of these remote guys too. Man, the market is booming. It's a great day to be a radiologist.
Well, the dilemma is the interventional market, the procedure market, and the teleradiology market they're two different revenue streams. I mean, if they're in a group that there's boots on the ground, then eventually somehow the group has to get money from somewhere to equal the market, to compete with the market elsewhere. Sure. And because ones that don't, let's just say, for example, we've known groups, they've lost their whole group or got rid of their group or whatever. Well, now to replace them, sure, there's teleradiology groups everywhere, but still they need the procedures done. So, they're paying up to $5,000 a day, for interventional, and, that's 8 to 5. And then, after hours is more and calls more and, weekends are more and all that. But, then they can sometimes negotiate for them to read in between cases when they're on call and stuff. But the interventional or the procedure and the reads are separating. And they're two revenue streams, basically, even if they're in the same, the same group or whatever. They just have to be. Because the reason I say that just simply is that, an interventional radiologist will look at the market and go, well, I'm right now working Monday through Friday. I'm working 2 weekends a month. I'm, on call. I'm reading 20,000 RVUs a year, and I'm making $650,000, which to most people, that's just fantastic money. But, they were getting 12 weeks vacation. Now they're having to fight to take 8. And they see jobs that come across their desk working, 26 weeks a year, making $850. So, all the radiologists, like I tell everybody, they all carry calculators around in their pockets now, and they're mathematicians. And if they're not, it's just a matter of time before they become one.
Sure. Well, and that's a very accurate assessment. There's a difference in between the groups that are doing what it takes to sign these guys and the ones that are not. I mean, it seems like everybody is having conversations with the hospital about getting stipends, and that's what it's taking now for people to be able to secure quality candidates. A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. And I think that a lot of times, both on the organization side and on the candidate side, sometimes people count their birds before they hatch, and then they kind of start dragging out the process, and wait a week to make a decision or 2 weeks to make a decision, and they lose some great opportunities and great candidates because they're not striking while the iron's hot.
Well, and you're right. You're basically saying, in short, it's an educational education of the market. And, everybody, these hospitals, everybody knows it's a negotiation deal too. But it just doesn't matter. There's so many radiologists, there's tons of cases, and there's a lot of practices, groups, hospitals, whatever, ahead of the curve that are, we say it like this: radiology money is finding its way back home. Because, in my true personal story. Opinion, a hospital cannot even function if they don't have some sort of radiology, so they have to kind of do whatever, from our perspective, and we work mostly with private groups. We don't work with hospitals that much. Even if the hospitals get, the radiology group to come on and be employees, we've seen what happens over the years. It's either a revolving door or, the radiology groups, they just function better independent. It's just, so there's, Yeah, there's a, several things too, you know, in the offers that I saw. So, you know, I would tell anybody that's not, doesn't have an occurrence policy or is not paying tail, I mean, you're going to have a hard time getting the radiologist to sign that agreement. And, you know, it's just because, I mean, this, they just are not, you know, I'm not saying they're not going to do it. There'd have to be a lot of things, you know, right about the situation. I will say that I see the tiered system kind of work. And that's one way to really kind of ferret out the candidates to know if they're going to be here one year, you know, just for a year or whatever, because if, you know, they forgive the tail like 20%, 40%, 60%, 80%, 100% over 5 years, you know, they doesn't guarantee they're going to keep the physician for 5 years, because see, that's even another thing in the negotiations. I mean, it's nothing for another group to pick up and pay the tail.
Right.
You know, and so if a group's going to get a radiologist, they'll be happy to pay the tail. But the radiologist going into the group thinking they're going to have to pay a tail, there's no guarantees that a group's going to buy them out in their mind. So they're just, you know, we just don't see them doing it that much. You know, and then what do you?
I've been dealing with actually negotiating hospitals with different and negotiating contracts with different hospitals too. And the hospitals that are trying to do this, apart from the private radiology groups, man, one thing that I see over and over again, particularly when working with hospitals, is the person sitting in the wrong seat on the bus. And for those of you that might not be familiar with that term, Jim Collins wrote a book, I think it's called From Good to Great. And it talks about if we're all on a bus and we're all heading in the same direction, sometimes you might have the right team member, but they might be on the wrong seat on the bus. Sometimes you might just have someone that's on the wrong bus, period. But man, we will gladly work with CEOs, but in my experience, we've had some opportunities where there have been some folks that were not key decision makers in hospital organizations that for whatever reason just bogged down the process and didn't make great decisions to move forward with, and they've lost some fantastic candidates. And a lot of times we work with a radiology group, but the radiology group tries to get the hospital to pay the recruiting fee. We don't care how you skin the cat. I mean, we love placing excellent candidates with great organizations, and we'll do that a lot of different ways. But everybody has kind of their standard operating procedures and their business models. We are not the most expensive organization to work with out there, but we're definitely not the cheapest either, but we're very good at what we do. And I know that one of the reasons, Chuck, that we have the level of success that we have is because we keep a close pulse on the market. In fact, we just picked up a new contract, I think, within 30 days, and we've interviewed like five people with them just because they have the right people in the right seat on the right bus moving forward, and they're gaining momentum and they're not bogging things down. Have you seen people kind of kicking tires and not making decisions on your side of the desk?
So, you know, in everybody's defense that, you know, everybody's at a different part of this process of this market changing. And so I think that a lot of it is just unknowns, and, you know, a lot of it is just man hours. A lot of it is just, you know, and so, you know, for example, let's say a success story would be, you know, a group that's gone to the hospital, got the money, you know, get the stipend, got the help, everybody's on the same team, you know, so radiology doesn't implode at that hospital or, you know, in that practice. Because, I mean, think about it. I mean, a radiologist can now, you know, look at the jobs, and if things don't change for the radiologist on the location, they can easily better their situation in time and money reading remote. That's working less and making more. Now, I would say if I was working at a hospital, you know, I would you know, I mean, I'm talking about administratively where we were, you know, radiology was important to me. And I, you know, I would make sure and take care of that group because,
sure,
you know, once they leave, you know, and it's not like everybody goes, hey, we're leaving. It's like, you know, one guy sees a job, you know, and he has all these partners he's worked with for, you know, for 10 years, and then comes in and goes, oh man, I gave my notice. I'm giving my notice, you know, to go. And then it's because, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, everybody's working for their family, most likely want to spend time with them. And, you know, if you can work half the time and make more money, I mean, it's not even reasonable to not expect somebody to do that. But sure. I'll tell you what, I will tell you this. I'm really impressed that like a lot of the groups are very, you know, just it's that physician mindset. A lot of the groups are very loyal to the hospitals, to the to the locations, to the patients. It's not all about the money. I mean, if you jump into remote radiology, you know, it is about the patient, but it, you know, if you're reading 100 or 120 RVUs a day, I mean, it's about the money. But, you know, not, and probably 90% of the radiologists don't want to do that. But, you know, the you know, if you can keep them happy, because everybody's going to have to rise to the fair market value. I mean, that's the way it is. And so I'm not saying everybody has to just make all these immediate changes and just, but definitely find out what the competition is doing. And, you know, so what would you say? I mean, I've got written down here what I think that, you know, the RVUs are for just on average. And I'm not talking about over the top or below average. I'm talking about, what do you think the jobs are paying? And I'm not putting you in the hot seat because you don't really work that side.
You know, well, I mean, like it seems like
days, evenings, and
so and, I would say for days, it seems like that it's hovering around 45. If you've got more than 45, you're on the higher end. Evening shifts, you're getting in the low 50s, and then overnights probably high 50s, sometimes even up into the 60s. Is that about what you're seeing?
Yeah, so days low would be 40. So 45 is starting to seem to be the norm, where you're not getting pushback. And I mean, when I say not getting pushback, I mean, you know, sure some people respond to our advertisements to go, oh, that's too low or whatever, but you know, it's really not that. It's just, you know, when you have other jobs that are paying 45 and we're making placements, and then you have, you know, other jobs that are paying 40 and they're not making placements, it's not real hard to, you know, ascertain what's going on there. And then, you know, but I would say that, so there are other factors. You know, if somebody says, hey, I want to work Monday through Friday, only 2 weeks a month. Well, you know, there's some value in a special schedule. So I would say in that situation, $40 an RVU is good.
Sure.
But if somebody's willing to work, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 weekends a year, cover 3 Monday through Fridays and be a busy person and always show up and all that, you know, that's going to be a bare minimum of, you know, I'd say 45 is what we see that, you know. And are there people making more than that? Yeah, absolutely. Hats off to them. And the market's just not there. That's about where probably I would say 80% of the market is.
Yep.
And then, you know, anything.
I mean, there are exceptions to the rule. You're going to have some groups out there that get like a killer stipend from the hospital. And then at least for that year, they're going to be paying a lot more than everybody else.
Yeah, that's right. And so the $50 an RVU for the evenings, I mean, 55, we're starting to see 55. I mean, for overnights, everybody knows the deal on that. I mean, it's 45. I mean, 55 is probably the lowest. I mean, we just lost somebody. I mean, we've got a group that, you know, 45 is what they works for them right now. And, you know, they've got, you know, the dilemma is they've got some other radiologists that are covering the same shifts for similar per RVU.
Sure.
And so, you know, you start up and it 10, 15 bucks per RVU, you know, and then you've got mutiny on the ship, which is, it's going to happen anyway. It's just, they want to prolong it because I mean, you know, well, the mutiny on the ship is not necessarily going to happen, but if they hire somebody at $60 an RVU, or if that's what it takes to get their next guy, I mean, they're going to have to bump their other guys up. So, you know, and then that's where they got to talk to the hospital or.
Well, you know, and how many times do we see it that people get in a situation like that and they don't talk to the hospital? They're just like thinking, I'm going to ride it out. And yeah, but they don't want to offer anything additional. So, man, they lose out on these additional candidates. And the next thing you know, they haven't calculated the cost of vacancy, which by in our meeting today, we were just discussing that, and it's they are losing out $10,000 a day for a slot that is not filled by a radiologist. And man, so they're sitting there and they're trying to just hold down the fort. And then the next thing you know, they don't have the slot covered. So their guys that are on boots on the ground that are there are all of the sudden having to cover these extra shifts. They're losing quality of life over it. And before you know it, that unwillingness to move and that unwillingness to calculate the cost of vacancy has cost them some key members of their group. When they had, if they had just made some minor adjustments, then they wouldn't have lost them in the first place.
Yeah, that's true, man. I mean, that's where I give the groups a break, because they have gone to the hospitals. So we're talking about round two of going back to the hospital,
right?
Because just 18 months ago, there was groups still paying $32 professional per RVU. Right. And so, you know, if they can pay, you know, more than that, they've had to gone to the hospital to get a stipend or some sort of help. And now there are a lot of groups at a lot of places that have really good contracts.
Sure.
And all that makes a difference too. But, you know, this is all based on, you know, Medicare you know, the number 32 per RVU, but, you know, they get a stipend but they've gotten a stipend. And then, you know, that's why there's a little bit of pushback to us. Hey, you know, we're seeing more than 45, but the market's gone up so fast in the last 18 months. So if they just, cause it's a long process.
Yep.
To get money with the hospital, and the hospital's really, you know, if they just gave somebody some money to make it work, and then now they're finding out they got to turn around and do it again. I mean, you know,
I mean, that is the most accurate assessment of the market that I've heard, because literally by the time the hospital approves a stipend, the stipend will have needed to be bumped up significantly to stay relevant in today's market.
Yeah, no, that's for sure, dude. Yeah, absolutely. And so they're stuck at 45, and then, you know, for overnights. And so then, you know, but there's going to, it's just like everything has to come to a head. And, you know, I don't want to say they have to lose somebody, but, you know, there has to be that on the table before everybody really is kind of paying attention these sure. days.
You know, I mean, there's a group that we love that we've worked with. They're fantastic folks. And that was their eye opening moment. I mean, they were passively kind of recruiting, and then they lost a couple of their key members. And then all of the sudden, whenever you lose your vacation and your nights off, there's a little extra motivation to put some sugar in the Kool-Aid there.
Yeah. Right. And it's, I mean, it has to be a community thing. I mean, like hospital group, all that. You know, we'll see. I mean, if there's any new solutions that we see other groups doing, I mean, we'll certainly broadcast it here.
Sure.
You know, right now,
we still literally on a weekly basis, we're signing remote guys, not necessarily the folks that are actually considering the folks that are looking for obscure schedules are actually bringing relief to their boots on the ground guys, man, because they'll hire a remote guy. We have one group that that we've worked with, and they were so excited because we had some folks that said, hey, listen, I will work 40 weekends a year. And that was super exciting, because then they would actually get some weekends off. So they custom tailored an offer to that radiologist, because they wanted their weekends back. The people that are doing what it takes to get someone, and considering folks that are outside of the box, and I realize that sometimes you have to get other folks that are in your organization to buy in on doing something that deviates from the norm, but they're the ones that are actually maintaining a life outside of practice.
Right. Well, you know, and then, but that's another dilemma, because if you start giving, you know, these groups, if they start giving, you know, remote radiologists better situations than the boots on the ground have there, that's why that I'm saying that the procedure money and the case money, the reading the case money is different. They're two revenue streams, because, you know, it was, for example, you know, we know a group that negotiated with the hospital and they got a really good deal, and they were kind of burnt out and tired and stuff. And, you know, then all of a sudden they get this big, gigantic, you know, I don't want to say gigantic, but I guess just, it was just a relief.
It was significant.
They got a really bump in pay. And then, you know, they went from needing an extra radiologist because they're so tired and burnt out to like, no way, man, we're working as much as we can because,
yeah. Because,
you know, man, you get paid for what you do, and amazing how that motivates you, you know. So, but hats off to everybody on that for sure. But, you know, but we'll see, because, you know, everybody's really trying to make it work. And, you know, anybody in medicine, I mean, obviously they're in medicine to help people for the most part. I mean, I'd say because they love, you know, helping people, especially people that are in worse situations than they are. And just everybody I've ever met is just, it's like that, you know, in the medicine.
Sure.
And, you know, the hospitals and stuff. So, but, yeah, man. So we'll see. I mean, we'll just see where it goes. I mean,
well, Chuck, I know that we've seen on the marketing side, we've seen an influx. If you are a radiologist and you are looking for a practice opportunity, regardless of what your modality is, in Florida or Illinois or New York or Texas, I don't even care what subspecialty you're looking for, reach out to us. Our number here at the office is 817-483-4300, and you can talk to whoever answers the phone. But just say, hey, listen, I'm interested in opportunities. If you're looking for a boots on the ground opportunity, Chuck, do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
No. See you next time.
Hey, have a great day.